so much. Please be seated. Gary is going to come and sing now, just before our preaching service tonight. I'll let him introduce that song.
When God always gives us promises, and he's always told us that he will be there for us. So the title of this song is God is There. When I need a friend to tell my troubles to, God is there, God is there. When I need a friend to give me strength anew, God is there, always there. God is there, always there, with a helping hand to lift my load of care. He'll be faithful to the end. On his promise I depend. When I really need a friend, God is there. When I need a friend to care when I'm distressed, God is there, God is there. When I need a friend to help me do my best, God is there, always there, with the, always there, sorry, always there, with a helping hand to lift my load of care. He'll be faithful to the end, on his promise I depend. When I really need a friend, God is there. When I need a friend to guide me through the night, God is there, God is there. When I need a friend to make my pathway right, God is there, always there. God is there, always there, with a helping hand to lift my load of care. He'll be faithful to the end, on his promise I depend. When I really need a friend, God is there.
All right, James chapter 5, James chapter 5. Remember his song that he just sang as we get into the sermon tonight. I'm going to have to pick a new book here pretty soon. And for those of you who are wondering, I will not be preaching from Revelation. I'll let Pastor do that one. That one's tough. Still trying to figure out where I'm going to go next. Old Testament, New Testament, Catholic Catechism. I'm just kidding. Calm down. Don't walk away. James chapter 5 and verse 13. As you see there, the title of the message is Prayer Saturation. Prayer Saturation. And it says there, do you need to read? Tonight? Do you feel like you need to read? Yeah? You want to read along with me? Okay. You can do that. The screen's up there. So, how many can read that? Y'all can, oh, good. Excellent. So, we'll have a participation trophy here tonight. Let's start reading verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Sorry for the pause there. I was trying to keep up with you on the screen. Carlton had to mess around with my notes on the sermon there. So just give him a break. It's tax season. He's probably falling asleep during that, right? We'll try to keep him awake. So as you see there, there is a lot that has to do with prayer. And in order to illustrate this tonight, we are not doing a sprinkling baptism. Some of you were concerned about it tonight. I'm not that crazy. But if you understand the term saturate, okay, it means to be completely influenced by some other object, characteristic, or action. I'll state that again. To be completely influenced by some other object, characteristic, or action. I'd like to bring you back to Titus chapter 2 and verse 1. Do you remember what that verse was all about? I preached that a little while ago. And the whole fact that the word should be every part of our conversation and our lifestyle, the word of God. We should be word infused, which would be another term for that. So again, I've got this illustration, and I was going to have Tim come on down so I could use this on his head to make sure it's squeaky, Mr. Clean Clean. So, you know, it's interesting. Does anybody notice what happens to a sponge when you put it in water? I mean, it's kind of the reason why we use a sponge in order to clean things, correct? Or to throw at your husband when he's not minding, correct? Now the key is to saturate, it must be completely, completely affected. Okay, so as you take this sponge and you put it into the water, this is not holy water, by the way. Too many jokes, huh? Everything has changed. I mean, it's just, it's being affected by just dripping. It's pouring out all this water. The weight of the sponge has changed. The characteristics of it, how it feels, how it looks, is changed by placing it in the water. And as you use it, it continues to use water and to affect what's around it. Now, some of you need to go use the restroom right now, huh? No potty breaks. But you know what happens when it gets wrung out totally, completely, and then it stays in the church kitchen for a month without a potluck? It becomes as dry as ramen noodles when you pull them out of a package. Has anybody tried to eat ramen before you put it into water? You're desperate, man. You must have been really hungry. I mean, seriously, what happens? It dries up. It's abrasive. You ever notice that? It's abrasive. Whenever you feel it, it's tough to hold on to. It's like a brick. It just bounces. Say, where are you going with this? You know exactly where I'm going with this. Our lives must be saturated with not only the Word of God, but with prayer. If we are continually saturated, we will never become so hard and dried out. We'll be changed. I'll put that in there so you don't have to go on a bathroom break. Have you ever thought about that? You'll be changed. You'll be affected. You'll affect others. I mean, honestly, how many of you just know someone else that is a prayer warrior? I mean, you just want to take them everything. You just want to lay it all out. Okay, I know you pray. Here's my list. Right? Have you ever done that? I mean, there's this lady in our church of a Dayton. Her name was B. Butler. And if you've ever been to our church, ever, you will get to experience B. Butler. You want to know why? Because she has no personal space about her, okay? So she's this older lady that as soon as she sees you, hey! And she will chase you down and give you a hug. If you are a visitor, it doesn't matter. She might even give you a kiss. I mean, she is like all up in your grill. I mean, she just loves you with the love of Jesus Christ. And she doesn't care what you think. You could tell when people are, they just, you know, they like their bubble. You could tell. And she's coming. And they're like, you just know. And she's coming. But you know. And she's coming because she's very vibrant. I mean, she's just so happy all the time. She used to work in a pharmacy. You know, back when pharmacies were, you know, like nice to go to, I guess. I don't know. But she was like the receptionist. Hey, can you imagine having somebody like that? It doesn't matter who you are. Hey, come on. It's probably a little bit easier to give away your money for your pills whenever they're so nice, right? But I mean, she was just so vibrant. And you know what? If I ever mentioned anything from the pulpit about a need or a prayer request that I had had, And even if I didn't spend a whole lot of time on it, she'd always come up to me like a week later, 2 weeks later, and she'd ask me how it's going. How are they doing? She has no clue who this person is, but she's going to pray. Oh, I got you on my list. Thank you. You can tell when somebody is saturated by prayer. It affects them. You can tell when somebody is infused with the Word of God. It affects you. And not just you, but it affects all those around you. There is a change. You can see it. You can feel it. There is a difference. Now, as you get into this, James gives several different circumstances where we need to be praying. And it's very important that this becomes all that we are. How many of you, let's not raise our hands tonight, how about that, for this question. How many of you have either become or presently are a dried up Christian? Think about that. Just dried up. Because even think about this. Maybe even the prayers that we pray before our meal that we try to get through as quick as possible so we could get to our food that's getting cold. How much do we really mean it? I had one friend that he stopped praying before a meal. How unspiritual. He says, I get so wrapped up in the meal that I don't even think about it. And I just say these words and they don't mean anything. And so after the meal, I thank God for it. It was just something different. How could you? That's different. Oh, I can't do that. I can't stand change. Well, maybe sometimes we need some change in our lives to rethink through some things. Think about this. When Pastor announced that I was going to start preaching on Sunday nights, there's probably a lot of people there like, what is he doing? Should we dock his pay? I mean, he's not working as much. It's like one day total now because it's just Sunday morning and Wednesday night that he works, correct? If you believe that, you are oblivious. Wake up and smell the roses, okay? Come on. But how much have you appreciated the difference to be able to hear from one person the word of God and yet be able to hear from another? I've appreciated the difference because I can actually sit by my wife during one of the sermons. Now she makes me like sit as close as possible. And then she tries to make me put my arm around her, but I don't know about you, but like my arm falls asleep. And then when all of a sudden it's note-taking time, because you know he's given it, then I try to lift it up and it just won't move, you know? So I just gotta, I'm sorry, Keely, I just gotta do it. But instead of slapping her across the face, she'll want to make me preach every time. It's refreshing. It's something different. I mean, you know, when I was preaching up at Dayton, I just craved it when missionaries would come. Why? Because I'd hear somebody else give the word of God. I got to sit down and listen to it. I try to listen to a message every Sunday afternoon on the same passage that I'm preaching out of. And some people might think that that's weird. Some people might think that that's cheating. I really don't think it's cheating. And I don't use the same outline, okay? My outline's already made. But yet, I try to listen to something so I can be affected by it. And that kind of a change was good for me. I think it's been good for you. Maybe if we get a different outlook on how prayer can change our lives, and stop being a fuddy-duddy, maybe we'll be able to start affecting others and stop being that dried-up Christian. Have we ever thought about that? So as we get in here tonight, how do we pray? How does it affect our lives? In verse 13, we talk about this circumstance of suffering. And it says, is any among you afflicted? Is any among you afflicted? If I were to ask that question here tonight, how many of you would raise your hand? Or is it the same way that they were? Probably not. We all have our different circumstances. We all have our different jobs. We all have our different doctor's appointments during the week, right? We all have our different situations where we're having to call customer service during the week. How many of you feel that you're afflicted when you call somebody's customer service, okay? You feel like you're going to lose your salvation. No, I have eternal security. I'm not going to lose my salvation, okay? Maybe it's not that bad, but maybe sometimes that is stressful. Even the simple things in life somehow cause us suffering. On Friday night, we went out, and I confessed this on yesterday morning, and so I thought I got my confession out, but here we go. On Friday night, we went out for Valentine's Day, because that's what every good man is supposed to do, is take his wife out for Valentine's Day. Yeah, and it was great. Yeah, we brought kids along, and everybody looked at us, and like, why did they bring their kids along? Oh, well, you know. But we hit it before the big old rush. You know, but you know, as we were leaving that restaurant, somebody thought that I should be going on their time frame. Okay, and when you try to tell me to go on your time frame and you use this little thing in the middle of your steering wheel to rush me, ooh. Springfield. Ugh. They honked at me. Can you believe it? Come on, there's people coming. I am not going to go out in the middle of traffic and oncoming traffic, okay? I'm not that brave. So guess what I did? I took the turn, and they continued to follow me on the merging onto the interstate. Well, you know how you usually gun it so you can get on the interstate? I didn't. I slowed down. And Keely's like, what are you doing? And I you know, said some nice Christian words. And I waited for like a semi coming up. You know, we love to use semis to punish other drivers. And there was like a whole onslaught of vehicles coming up. And so I putzed along until I was going to get my move into traffic. And I gunned it. Man, that little Dodge Grand Caravan. Oh, man. You think that's a soccer mom vehicle? Whoa. I put the pedal to the metal, and I'm glad the transmission did not go on that Dodge. And I'm going, and they slowed down. They had to get behind like five vehicles. I was like, yeah, honk at me again. All right. There's my affliction for the week. I'll afflict you. All right. So sometimes we have something stupid like that. I confessed my sin. Okay. I confessed it. That's not something you should do. Don't take that and start applying that. Okay. Tyler, stop it. Okay. You have troubles just getting out of the median, so just stop. But as you see this, sometimes we get into suffering, and this type of suffering on a serious note, it could be mental, it could be emotional, it could be physical, it could be all kinds spiritual. Are you afflicted? Are you suffering in some sort of way? And how do you respond to that? How do you respond to that? You know, there's something simple that he says right afterwards. Pray. Just pray. And there's something about this passage that continually points you to God. Because, you know, if I call up my mom and say, Mom, all these people, they are just, oh. You know, and then allow her to be the mama bear and come out and try to fix all my problems, right? Does it work? No. No, it doesn't work. If I call pastor and say, oh, this person looked at me incorrectly. Does it work? No, it doesn't. It just puts another load on his table, doesn't it? Who's gonna orchestrate my life? Who's the conductor? Who's the director? Not me. It's God, so why can't I just go to him? And not say, and James never says this, pray that he will take away your suffering. No, because what he says in the beginning of James is what? Count it all joy when you face various trials. Say, fool on you, you don't even understand what I'm going through right now. You don't understand the affliction that I'm handling. Listen, I've got my own, okay? I don't have to understand and experience all of your affliction. We all have our own things that we are dealing with. And we can't just sit there and mope about it. We should take it to the God who can change it or help us through it. Pray. Pray. He goes on there, and as he's talking, it's not just suffering, but in this, it shows dependence. As you see suffering and the affliction there, think about it this way. Think about, sometimes we just try to drown ourselves in our own sorrow. Don't we? Try to drown ourselves in our own sorrow. We just can't seem to get up and get past it. And yet he says, pray. Let him pray. Isn't he merry? Let him sing psalms. See, sometimes when we're afflicted and we're dealing with certain things, we isolate ourselves and we walk away and we drown ourselves in our sorrows and we forget to give it up to the creator of the heavens and the earth who can take care of it, or he can comfort us in our situation. But yet in the same thought process, we can go over here and we can be in joy. We could be happy. We could be understand the blessings of life. And yet in the same moment, we get so distracted by all the blessings that we forget to praise God for all that he's done. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. Victory in Jesus. A new name written down in glory. I mean, just all these different things that come up. How do we pray? We not only pray in our sorrow, but we pray and praise in our joy. When things are working, when things are moving, praise God. When people start seeing the effect of that, the saturation of our prayer and affecting not only in our sorrows and our joy, they will understand that there's got to be something affecting that. There's a difference there that they can't find out in the world. Listen, it really doesn't matter who is in as the president. In the sense that, listen, you know, how many years ago were we complaining because it was, you know, a certain someone? And now we're still complaining because people are fighting our guy. Because we feel like we got to go to fight for him. And then we forget that God put him there and could take him down whenever he wants. We get all excited whenever he does something for the Christians, or we get all excited in the negative way when they do something against the Christians. But listen, we got to give them a reason to even want Christians around. See, what are you talking about? Man, if our church was resting in God and our affliction, and praising God in our joy, people would notice and either run away from us because they can't stand having joyful Christians around them. I'd be like, oh man, I want that. Because I can't seem to make it on my own, man. I drown in my sorrows and man, it just can't seem to get anything right. And I'm just always looking on to the next thing. And I just get these highs and I think I'm doing okay. And then all of a sudden I'm down. And I just can't seem to make anything of life. And I can't seem to have purpose. And yet they look over at these Christians and wait, they should be drowning. And yet it looks like they are looking into something, someone. Maybe it's the author and finisher of their faith. Wait a minute, things are going great. What do? Well, you know, my job, it pays so well, and man, the economy's so great because of who's in the president's seat. And oh, no, that's God. That's God. Because God is the Father of lights who gives every good and perfect gift. Hey, if our economy's doing great, praise God. To God be the glory. When it's doing wrong, God, help us be content with what you've given us. There's a lot there, isn't there? A constant communication with God. It doesn't matter where we're at in this. There's suffering and there's joy. Don't be distracted by your blessing. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Verse 14. Let's talk about the weak. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. That's a pretty powerful statement, and you can get really confused when you look at those verses if you don't take them correctly. As you see this, you see weakness, and is, again, if you read any commentaries at all, maybe you have your own study Bible ahead, right in your lap, and you're reading on to the extra. I mean, what you get is very diverse, and you say, is it a physical sickness that's causing them to be so weak that they have to call someone in to pray for them? Because couldn't they just go into the office, you know, one day and just ask pastor to pray for them? I mean, couldn't they just do this? This is something that has affected them that they've actually isolated themselves. Maybe they just couldn't help it because there's certain people that are sick and they just can't get out of bed. There's the homebound. Now there's the real homebound and there's not the real homebound. Some people claim homebound. I know some millennials that are very healthy that claim homebound. It's just easier not to get out of bed, right? I agree. Maybe I should try that next Sunday. Stop raising your eyebrows at me. I'm just kidding. Is any sick among you? Have you ever noticed that sometimes depression can affect people where they don't want to get out? What about spiritually speaking? Have you ever noticed someone so spiritually down and weak that they just don't want to get out? Now, what it says right after that is it says that the elder or pastor, that's another term for pastor, he automatically knows when you're suffering and cannot get out, and he will be at your door within 30 minutes. It doesn't say that. You say, well, is there some sort of like a translation problem? You know, to where we're just not translating it correctly, because I believe that my pastor should be immediately there as soon as I have some sort of an ailment that I cannot get out of my bed. No, we're not telepathic. We don't have some sort of superpower. There is a response there. It says, let him call for the elders. Now, in this time period, they did not have a phone. They did not have email. They might have had Pony Express. They had to go and ask someone, hey, can you go get the pastor? Have him come in. What's the point? It's not for the point of him coming in and him healing them. Read the passage. It says, let him call for the elders of the church. Why? Because the elders should be committed to prayer and the reading of the Word of God. That's what it says. That's why deacons the position of deacon was created. Because there's all kinds of things that was going on in the church that needed to be dealt with, but yet they wanted to focus the leadership, as far as the pastors, elders, overseers, the shepherds, to focus on prayer and the reading of the Word of God, and what does it mean that they should be on cue with God? They should be close with God. They should be having a faith in God. And you want to call the people that are connected with God and have a relationship with God to come and to pray with you. Why? So they can lay hands on you and pass on some sort of spiritual power. No, it says, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Who's our focus? God. God, would you please heal this person? God, would you please help them, comfort them, whatever they need in this situation. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. Who did it? God. Now you say, wait a minute, back up for a second. In verse 14, it talks about anointing him with oil. Okay, what do you do there? What's it talking about? Now again, this was cultural, and you got to understand this, and people will get distracted by this very statement. Now don't come up to me afterwards and say, I just don't get the oil thing. Okay, please don't focus so much on this oil factor that you miss the whole entire point of the message. This is not an excuse for Young Living essential oils. And if they're using this as a reference to prove that their shop is legitimate, that's out of context. Okay, the oil was there. It was the idea of a healing property. It did have some what they believed was some healing properties to it, but it wasn't the point of it. Okay, you'll even see that as David was anointed with oil, what do you see there? That he was being set apart for God Almighty to be his king. So if you think about the oil there, don't get distracted by it, but I am going to give you over to God, who's going to deal with this situation. Well, did you forget your oil, Pastor? It doesn't matter. Well, what brand did you get? Walmart, sorry. That's all I could afford. No, it doesn't matter. Give it over to God. He's the one that can do the work. It goes on in the prayer of faith, shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. What is this? That if there is a sin issue, deal with it. I say, is everybody's sickness, weakness, whatever, is it a sin issue? So should I be looking for it? Oh, Emma got sick again. She must be in sin. Barry says amen, right? I thought he just paid her to get sick so he could get out of the special music this morning. I mean, seriously. How many times does people think that? It's just judgmental. All of a sudden, well, they've got to be in sin. That's why. Is that the reason? Is that our job? But if there is a sin issue, and this is what I come up to them and I say, listen, if there is something that's in your life that you need to get rid of, do it. I mean, this is a great time to do that. I mean, how many of you have been so low in your sickness or an affliction that you're just saying, whatever, God, take it. I just want to be free from this. Have you ever been there? Whatever you want from me. What's going on in my life? What do I need to make right with you? Maybe there's a point to sickness, to get us so dependent on him that we start communicating and start speaking to him. Sometimes in marriages, the only time that they speak to each other is when there's an issue. Ah, is that a healthy marriage? So if there's the only time that we speak with God is when there's an issue, is that a healthy relationship with him? Prayer, saturation. The Lord shall raise him up. Verse 16 through 18, we'll talk about the weak, but then when we talk about fellowship. And I got to wrap this up here, but it says here in verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Why? Because if someone's in sin, that puts a wedge there in between you and God, so there's not very good communication, is there? So we need to deal with that before we come before God and start asking for help, right? We need to deal with that sin. We need to be repentant of that. But it's saying that a righteous man, the effectual prayer of a righteous man works. It's what makes the wheels turn here. You say, confess your faults one to another. Listen, this should be something that should be dealt with before it gets to the point where it's so out of control that you feel you have to walk away. It's something, being open and being transparent. Have you ever been to the point where we're just telling somebody about it just helped? Just letting it out just helped. Maybe it helped to let go of it. Sometimes we want to hold on to it. We want to grip, and we have such a firm grip on that situation, that issue, that weakness, whatever it might be. It's controlling us, and it gets to the point where it just starts to saturate us in the opposite direction. We start going the opposite direction. And it says here, go ahead, confess your faults. Go ahead and be transparent with the body of Christ, so that they could be praying for you. Have accountability. You have an issue with lust? Get some help. You have an issue with anger? Get some help. If you have a problem with apathy, with laziness, get some help. It's not so you can just go around and complain to everybody, because you know that we have the temptation to do that. We'll just keep holding on to it as we complain to everybody around us, because we're going to hold on to this issue like it's a dog. Come on, issue. Come on. No. Let's get rid of the dog. It's a bad dog. Dog likes to pee in the house. Get rid of it. Get some help. Work through it. Confess your faults so that they may pray. Because guess what? When people who are on cue with God, that are seeking God, when they pray, when they seek His face, it works. It goes on and gives an example here. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. He wasn't a super human being. He's just like we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Saying there's a whole lot of story to this that we're missing here in this passage. But here it is, he's working against a false king, or a bad king, a pagan king, who's supposed to be the king over God's nation here. And yet, here it is, he prays that there's not going to be any rain, and then he gets fed by what? Birds? Till that brook of Cherith dries up, and then he goes and gets fed by a widow that's about to die with her son. And yet God provides. And finally God says, okay, it's time to pray. Pray for rain. He did. Guess what? It came. Same guy with same struggles. Prays. Stop acting like you have to be a super Christian. Just be a child of God and run to your Father. Seek His face. Lay the burden at His feet. God, you've got this. You've got this. Prayer saturation. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for all that you've done here. And oh, we could go on. We could go on. You've got so much here that we can handle from your truth that's on display. And Lord, we need to make these changes in our lives. So many circumstances that we need to seek your face. And yet, how many times do we not seek your face? God, help us. God, please help us. In Jesus' name.